gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, they said therefore unto him, how then were thine eyes opened? He answered, the man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, go wash in the pool of Siloam. I went away and washed, and I received sight. It is written, they say therefore unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, in that he opened thine eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. It is written, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, and who is he, Lord, that I may believe? Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and he it is that speaketh with thee.
For God is just a prayer away.
And as he passed by, he saw a man blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Jesus answered, neither did this man sin, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. We must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh, when no man can work. When I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Work, for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. Work, for the day grows brighter. Work in the glowing sun. Work, for the night is coming when man's work is done. Work, for the night is coming. Work through the sunny noon. Fill brightest hours with labor. Rest comes sure and soon. Give every flying moment something to keep in store. Work, for the night is coming when man's work no more. Work, for the night is coming under the sunset skies, while the bright tints are glowing. Work, for daylight flies. Work till the last beam fadeth to shine no more. Work, while the night is darkening, when man's work is o'er.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message from John chapter 9, entitled, The Man Who Was Born Blind. Actually, this chapter is full of questions regarding the healing of the man born blind. The first is when the apostles ask Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? You see, as Jesus passed by, he saw this man blind from his birth. It was not just a passing glance. He stopped and observed him. At this point, the apostles engaged the Lord in that question. That's a popular question and a popular explanation. Some people are quick to point out, when a calamity befalls some people, it was God's judgment for sin they had committed. Actually, such things can happen to anybody. Some of the best Christians I know have died early in life. I have known of very devout Christians who have died suddenly with a heart attack. How about the Apostle James? He died an untimely death by decapitation. How could the Lord spare an apostle? Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord can do without any of us. I have seen James die at 22, 26, 40, 47. Christians can get cancer and heart attacks just as much as the worst of sinners. God can do without any of us, but we cannot do without God. Now, did this man sin or his parents? That was the question. How could a man sin before he was born? One way they might have thought possible would be in the case of Esau and Jacob. In Genesis 25, Rebekah conceived, and the children struggled within her. And she said, If it be so, why am I thus? And the Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thee. Again, it may seem to some that they may have believed in reincarnation. Ladies and gentlemen, that teaching finds no backing from the inspired Word of God. Hebrews chapter 9 tells us, It is appointed once to die for every man, and then the judgment. It would be bad enough to be tried for the sins done in one body without having to give account to God for the deeds done in several different bodies in a lifetime. There is just one lifetime to a customer. Now, as far as the physical is concerned, we can see how this man could have suffered because of his parents. How about old Daddy Adam and his sin? Paul tells us by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin. Just one sin was all it took to kill the whole human race. Think of the power of one sin. If one sin could result in the death of all men, how much damage can six of our sins do to our eternal, imperishable, ever-living, never-dying souls? We have no idea of the power of sin. Sin is so powerful that it took the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ to pay the price of our redemption. Then again, we can look at that question from the standpoint of our own observation. The sins of the parent today have caused the children to sin. If the parents have set the example of no time for God, the Bible, or the Lord's church, the parents, to all intents and purposes, have prepared a greased toboggan slide for the kids to slide right down into hell. Then again, at the present time, they might ask if the mother was a chain smoker, or did she snort cocaine? That might have done it. Did she have AIDS or syphilis? That might have resulted in blindness for the baby. Was the father drunk when the child was conceived? What is the fault of the parent? Was it the fault of the parent? They evidently connected his condition with sin one way or the other. That is a natural instinct as far as man is concerned. We always connect sin with judgment. In this case, while the apostles reasoned as to the cause of his blindness, Jesus was more concerned as how the best way to help him. He said, We must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Our time on earth is compared to one day. And we need to understand that none of us know when sunset will come in our individual lives. For some, our day is extended for many years. For some, it comes quickly. There's no time to waste. I know we have to unwind sometimes, but as far as the Lord's work is concerned, some were never wound up in the first place. The Scripture teaches, Redeem the time, for the days are evil. Some may think they have many years of service left. But James reminds us, Say not, we will go to this city or that city, and continue there a year or so, and buy and sell and get gain. For you know not what shall be on the morrow. Ladies and gentlemen, James says, Your life is as a vapor that appeareth for a short time and then vanisheth away. So work, for the night is coming. Jesus spit on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed his eyes with the clay and told him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam. The man did and came seeing. Is there no eye salve for us today? Jesus made him some eye salve. Where is our eye salve? Jesus wants to give us eye salve. The church at Laodicea in Revelation 3 said they were rich and had need of nothing. That is the way they saw themselves. Jesus said, You don't know it, but you are wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. Then he told them to get some eye salve and anoint their eyes that they may see. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no better eye salve than the Word of God. Read the Great Commission in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and you will be able to see much better the need to evangelize the lost. The work of the church is not entertainment and building bigger buildings. The main work of the church is saving souls. So put on some eye salve, and you will be able to see that holy men spake from of old as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Put on some eye salve, and you will be able to see that city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Take a liberal dose of the eye salve of God's Word every day, and you will be surprised how your vision will change. Now here's the next question. Is not this he who sat and begged? The neighbors therefore, and they that saw him aforetime, that he was blind, said, Is not this he who sat and begged? Others said, No, but he is like him. He said, I am he. Those who had known him before wondered what happened to him. Evidently, he looked like a different man. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who meets Jesus as this man did is going to be a changed man. The tragedy is that many that we think have met the Lord have never been changed. They act the same way as before. There used to be a popular song many years ago, and some of the words went like this. My walk will be different, my talk and my name. Nothing about me is going to be the same. I'll change my way of living, and if that ain't enough, I'll even change the way I strut my stuff. Nobody wants you when you're old and gray. There'll be some changes made today. There'll be some changes made. Ladies and gentlemen, the Apostle Peter did not write that song, but he did write one like it. Here are the lyrics of the song that Peter wrote in the fourth chapter of the first epistle. He said, The times past may have sufficed to have wrought the desire of the Gentiles and to have walked in lasciviousness, lust, wine, bibbings, carousings, revelings, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. That is what Peter said. They think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. Now, question number three. How then were thine eyes opened? The neighbors that saw him aforetime were persuaded that he was indeed the man who had been healed. And they asked him that question, How then were thine eyes opened? He told them what happened. The man that is called Jesus put clay upon mine eyes and told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And I went away and washed and received sight. Then they took him to the Pharisees for further questioning. They went over the same story again. Ladies and gentlemen, if the Pharisees and the neighbors have been like some today, the following conversation would have taken place. What do you mean when you say you were washed and received sight? You know there's no healing power in the water. What you mean is you went to the pool of Siloam, and on the way you received your sight. And then you wash in the pool because you are already healed and seeing. Don't you see, if you say you were not healed until after you washed, that makes receiving your sight a matter of works, and not by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The former blind man would have told it like it was. Jesus put clay on my eyes and told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And I went away and washed and received sight after I washed. Ladies and gentlemen, I will leave it up to you to draw your own conclusions on the statement of Jesus when he said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, question number four. Is this your son? How then does he now see? The Pharisees were still not convinced, so they called the parents of the man born blind and put the question to them, Is this your son, whom ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? That's a good question. Try that on for size. Is this your son? Is this your daughter? Is this your kid? How then doth he now see? How does he see things? What does he or she see at home? What does he or she see at the church service? If your kid sees only fighting and bickering at home or in church, what kind of influence does that have? Many a person has been turned off regarding the Lord by what they see at home and in the services at the church house. Many a promising prospect for the ministry in a preacher's family, as well as other families, has been turned off by the church fights. How then doth he now see? The parents said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But how he now seeth, or who gave him his sight, we know not. Ask him. He is of age. He shall speak for himself. Many there are today who never come of age, as far as faith is concerned. They can never speak for themselves in matters of religion. There seems to be sanctity in inherited faith in the minds of many. Religious faith is automatically inherited from the parents. Their parents have to speak for them as to what they believe. They accept without question the religion of their parents. Now they make up their own minds on everything else, but somehow they have no choice in the matter when it comes to matters of faith. Speak for yourself. You are of age. Your soul does not belong to your ancestors. Your soul does not belong to your grandparents. Your soul does not belong to your mother or your father. Speak for yourself. You are of age. Now, question number 5. Again, the Pharisees called the man born blind and told him, Give glory to God, for we know that this man is a sinner. He said, Whether he's a sinner, I know not. I know one thing. I know whereas I was blind, I now see. There are many today that are spiritually blind and don't know that they can't see. What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? I told you even now, ye did not hear. Would ye also become his disciples? They said, Thou art his disciple. We are disciples of Moses. As for this man, we know not whence he is. The former blind man said, Herein is the marvel. We know that God heareth not sinners. Ladies and gentlemen, does God hear the prayer of sinners? First, I have to say, God can hear the prayer of anybody he wants to. It is true that God heareth sinners. That is why Jesus asked us to pray, Forgive us our debts, even as we have forgiven our debtors. I know that God forgiveth sinners because he forgives me. I pray for forgiveness every day, and for good reason, that I have God's word for it. I don't know any person who is of age who is not a sinner. John tells us that Christians, as Christians, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins. But sometimes God answers a sinner's prayer by giving them what they ask for. The Israelites in the wilderness complained to God about their diet of manna from heaven. They long for the food they used to eat in the land of Egypt. God gave them what they asked for. He sent the quails, and they ate, and while the quail meat was still in their teeth, he destroyed many of them. Then, on the other hand, will God hear the prayer of a sinner for salvation if that sinner will not obey the terms of pardon that God has already given? The second question like unto it is, will God even forgive and hear Christians if they don't talk to him? Do we expect God to forgive a person for the sin of drunkenness, drugs, and fornication if there is no repentance? Many want to be Christians and bring their sins into the church with them. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Then, of course, the final time when the sinner's prayer will not be heard will be that day when some will say, Lord, Lord, open to us. His answer will be, I know you not. As a result of that exchange, they ask him, Dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus found him after they cast him out. He was found by the Lord outside of Judaism. The Lord can find you outside of any denomination. He can find you anywhere, and when he finds you, he can add you to his church. The second chapter of Acts tells us that those who heard the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and were convicted that he indeed died for their sins were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins, and they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord added in that day to them that were saved. And that brings us to the last question. Are we also blind? The man born blind made a confession of faith and worshiped the Lord. Jesus said, For judgment came I into the world, that they that see may see not, and they that see not may see. The message of Jesus is a message of judgment. Every time a person hears the word of God, he passes judgment on himself. Paul told the Jews in Antioch of Pisidia in Acts 13, It was needful that the gospel be first preached to you, but since you thrust it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, we turn to the Gentiles. When a person hears the gospel, he either thrusts God's mercy from him or accepts it. For judgment I am come into the world, that they that see may see not, and they that see not may see. The Pharisees said they could see. They only thought they could see. They were still blind. Many are like that today. Paul tells of the spiritually blind in 2 Corinthians 4, The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. And then again, hear Paul as he says in 1 Corinthians 2, The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. So it is that many of those who reject the word of God think those who do believe the Bible, they think that we belong in the loony bin. But Paul informs us in 1 Corinthians 1, The wisdom of men is foolishness with God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like we are all a bunch of fools. The unbelievers are fools because they don't believe in God, and the believer is looked upon as a fool because he believes God. So who is the biggest fool? Paul said, We are fools for Christ's sake. Personally, I prefer to be a fool like Paul. The unbeliever only thinks he sees. Jesus says he is blind. I came that they that see may see not, and they that see not may see. I've told this event many times in many places. It's one of my favorite. He lost his sight in the Vietnam War. He attended services one time in a revival where I was preaching. He told me when he had his physical sight, he could not see the Lord. He said it was not until he lost his physical sight that he was able to see Jesus. That night as he left the services, he told me he liked what I was doing. He pressed what I thought was $2 or $3 bills in my hand. After the services were over, I took them out of my pocket and found several $100. He said he was blind. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't prove it by me. I think he could see. Because Jesus said, I came that they that see not may see. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.